Welcome to the Behavior Corner Podcast with Barb Rova. Barb created the Behavior Corner after almost two decades of working side by side with families to improve their children's behavior. This is a supportive place for parents to come together to learn how to manage powerful emotions, negative behavior choices, and the chaos that we experience along our parenting journeys. In the Behavior Corner, we share professional, practical, and positive parenting advice. These are the tools that will give you a strong foundation to make positive behavior changes in your children a reality. Get ready. This is going to be great.
Welcome to this edition of the Behavior Corner. Today on the corner, we are talking about empathy. Empathy in our culture is of great concern to me right now because of a recent study that I read stating that empathy among young adults is on the decline. So we go back to our word of today, which is empathy. Do you really know what empathy means? I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know the true meaning of empathy till I was a young adult. And since I have grown in not only my education, but in my life as a professional and a mom and a spouse, I see the amazing value that we have in this word called empathy. When we use empathy, it allows us to completely consider, and dare I say, to completely understand the perspective of another person and to truly understand how they're feeling. Ideally, we would use this word called empathy when we are connecting with another human being going through a situation that we have also been through. So we can truly say, I know how you're feeling. I know the thoughts that you're having. I've been there. I know how that feels. So let's apply this to our kids. When our kids are young and they're outside playing and they fall and they skin their knee, we can all relate to that. We've been there. We've had those skinned knees as kids ourselves. I know this hurts your knee. I know how you're feeling. I skinned my knee when I was little too. Let's go get you cleaned up. I know how to help. All of those phrases speak to empathy. And I'm going to tell you, no matter what the situation, whether we are talking about our children or interacting with other adults, when we are able to use empathy, it improves our relationships. It helps us solve problems and it brings the walls down. Those walls that sometimes people build up because they're defensive about something, or they're hurting so badly inside, or they're so frustrated or upset with a situation. When someone can come to that person in need and use empathy, it softens the situation. Those walls start to come down. So I'm going to tell you right now, we know for a fact that empathy is a lifelong learning process. And it starts when our kids are toddlers. It starts with them identifying feelings of others and of themselves, and then moving on in developing a stronger sense of feelings and how feelings and thoughts are related, so that they can ultimately arrive to where we are as adults in understanding other people's perspectives and feelings. And when they can do that, they can start to make wise decisions for themselves and consider the impact of their decisions on others. How incredible is that, right? And we as parents have the power to instill empathy within our kids. We have the power to teach them how to be empathetic. And because this is such a big skill and there's a lot that goes into it, I know that it can sound overwhelming. It's kind of like you say to yourself, how do I even start teaching someone empathy? It seems like this abstract skill. It's not like showing someone how to build a block tower or teaching someone how to drive a car. We're talking about an internal skill within our brains and our hearts. How do we teach empathy? Well, today I have several ways that will help you along this journey of teaching your child empathy. Number one, start by identifying how characters in books, in their favorite TV shows, and even in YouTube videos are feeling. You can start by saying, I see that Susie on the TV has tears on her face. She feels sad. And you start naming how characters are feeling. For the very young child, having an adult name the feelings helps to teach them what to look for nonverbal signs to help them understand how someone is feeling, but then also puts a name to the feeling. Someone is crying. Normally, that means they feel sad. What do you think is causing Susie to feel sad? See what your child comes up with. I did this when my kids were very young. We used books. We had a lot of books that my kids would read frequently at bedtime, and all of you parents out there know what I'm talking about. We probably read the same books hundreds of times because those were the favorite books, and there is nothing wrong with that. So as we got comfortable with our nightly reading, I would point to a character now and then and say, how does he feel right now? And in this one book I remember reading countless times, it was about a puppy dog, and he had to be brave in a thunderstorm. So I would point to the dog and say, how's he feeling? And my son would say, brave, or scared. Or he would say, he's feeling happy because he got himself through that thunderstorm. And yes, the dog was happy at the end. And I didn't just ask these questions one time. We reviewed it again and again and again. Why is he brave? Why is he scared? Why is he happy? So that my children's brains would make those connections on how a character was feeling and why. That's the first step in learning about empathy. It's considering the feelings of our favorite characters in our books, on TV, on our iPads. So start that conversation, parents. Start talking with your kids about characters who they're already vested in. They're going to want to take the time to talk to you about these characters, these fictional beings, because they're already part of your kids' lives. And then you can even put your child in that situation, hypothetically, and ask them, how would you feel if you were in that situation? How would you feel if we had a thunderstorm at your house? How would you feel if you fell and skinned your knee? Whatever the situation is that you're talking about, then challenge your child to put him or herself in that situation and say, how would you feel? It just builds more and more of that empathy skill that we're looking for. One other way you could do this is by showing them cards with feeling faces on there. You could even look this up too and use your cell phone or your iPad or your computer and pull up feeling faces. It could be of kids, it could be of adults, it could again be of their favorite character. How are they feeling in this picture? Why do you think they're feeling that way? Start those conversations now. It will help you build empathy within your kids. The next way that you can start building empathy is to start talking about the feelings that you have. Now, us as adults, we need to be careful not to overload our kids with the problems that adults face in this world. We should not be disclosing our strong feelings over an adult problem, such as a work problem, a driving the car problem that has caused you to lose it. Hopefully your child wasn't in the car, but I know we've all been there. Kids don't need to hear that stuff. Perhaps you're going through a difficult time because someone has passed away, or there's someone in your family who is sick. It is not your place to sit down with your child and start unloading all these heavy feelings on them. They are children. Their brains are not yet developed enough to process the feelings that us adults experience when we have a lot going on in our adult lives. They are children. So now that I have put this disclaimer out there, here's an example of how you can appropriately share your feelings with your child. You're hungry because it's the end of the day and you just got home from work. I'm feeling hungry right now. I haven't eaten since lunch. How are you feeling? That's a perfect phrase to help your child understand that it's not just them who is probably feeling hungry because it's dinner time. You, as the parent, also have feelings. You have feelings of hunger because you are a human being too. And it just helps them understand that there's feelings that other people have that they could also consider. I'm feeling tired right now. I'm going to go get ready for bed. Are you feeling tired? Just having those conversations about feelings helps our kids learn from us. It's just a great opportunity to allow your kids the insight that they're not the only ones experiencing thoughts and feelings. We have another way to help your kids develop empathy. And it has to do with taking the perspective of another person. This is a perfect skill to start teaching your kids when they start kindergarten and move into first, second grade. We all like to think we have the answers in life, right? And our perspective is the right one. And our opinion sometimes is the fact. Right? And that is especially true for our kids as they're growing and learning and developing. They think they know it all. Well, when they start going to school, it's a perfect time to really hone in on the fact that people have perspectives and opinions and thoughts that differ from ours. And your children will definitely experience this as well. Just because they think something is true, it doesn't mean it is. So considering the perspective of other people is also a life skill that feeds in to empathy. So you feel that bacon is the best food. And I'm using this as an example, as silly as it sounds, because this was just the disagreement between my child and his friend when I was driving them in the car the other day. And friend said, bacon is the best food. I love bacon. And my son says, I don't like bacon. I tried it, but it's not good at all. The friend came back with a disagreement. My son came back with a disagreement. And we had two young children who were in the back seat of my vehicle having a heated discussion over bacon. Yes, you heard me right. So when we're talking about the perspective of others, it is something that needs to be taught directly to your kids. Hey, so-and-so has an opinion that bacon tastes really good. And you may not agree with that, but that's okay. It's your friend's opinion. Why don't you tell him what your favorite food is? And so he did. And they started talking about it because they were then able to take a look at each other's different perspectives. And it became okay because I had a little piece where I intervened in their conversation. But that speaks to empathy. We're not going to get upset at someone who has a different opinion than we have. We're going to consider their perspective because they're entitled to their opinion. And I don't have a place to be disrespectful to them and to hurt their feelings over something silly like bacon or anything else for that matter. I'm going to use the skill of empathy and understand that my friend has a different opinion than I have. It's all part of building the skill of empathy. The next way that you can continue building this amazing skill is by problem solving with your kids. And when they're in the midst of a problem, boy, it is hard to come up with solutions that could help. And honestly, when our kids are struggling with something, they don't always want us to swoop in and solve the problem for them. They just need someone to listen. And as they grow, they want to solve their own problems. Because like I said earlier, they're becoming independent, as they should. So how do you start getting them on the right path to solving problems where they can cope with the situation, weigh out the positive and negatives of potential solutions, and then to ultimately pick one? Well, you start with solutions where your child isn't part of the problem. Remember how we started this podcast today and we were talking about using characters from books and TV shows and YouTube channels? Same approach here, my friends. When you want them to start learning how to solve problems, use characters. Open up those books and say, this character had a problem because he was afraid of thunderstorms. How did he solve his problem? Do you have any other thoughts on what could have helped him solve his problem? You do? What do you think would have helped? Great. Do the same thing with the TV. Do the same thing with YouTube. What do you think could help? What should that character have done differently? What could they have done in addition to what they've already done? Now take it to that next level again. If you were in that situation, what would you do to solve your problem? Right? Awesome. Now think of a problem your child had. And now that that problem is done and over, revisit it. Hey, you know what? I remember when you had a problem getting along with your friend and you guys wanted to play with the same Matchbox car and you guys were yelling at each other. Hint, hint, this is another example from my real life with my kids. I try to give you real examples because I know I have gone through this with my kids. And others have as well. So to make this applicable to real life is so valuable in our world of parenting. So here we are, my son and his friend are arguing over this one Matchbox car. Mind you, there's a whole box of Matchbox cars right next to them. Nope, they have a problem because they both want the car. So of course, in I go. After I gave them like a minute or two to see if they could solve this problem themselves. So I said to them, do you think you could share the car? Yeah, but I want it first. No, I want it first. Well, what do you think the fair way is to solve that problem? Thankfully, they came up with rock, paper, scissors, and then I set a timer for them. So they each got equal time with the matchbox car. So I was able to help with that problem. So I could revisit that with my son and say, I remember the last time you had these cars out, you and your friend had a disagreement. Do you remember that? Yeah. Do you remember how we solved it? Do you like how we solved that problem? Do you think you could use the rock, paper, scissor method to solve other problems? Yeah. Do you think we could have done anything different? Just get the thoughts moving. Have those conversations, because the more you revisit this stuff, the more likely it will soak into their brains, and their brains will grow in having the skill all set to go the next time they need it. Guys, learning is a process, right? And we need to revisit the learning process again and again in order to make sure these skills are solid, not only within our kids, but with us. Think about it. Whenever you learn something new, the more you do it, the easier it gets and the more automatic it gets. Okay, so I have one more way to instill empathy within your kids. And at this point in our presentation, we are not only instilling empathy, but we're talking about other people's perspectives, and we're talking about problem solving, and they're all intertwined together into this one amazing skill. Empathy. Here we are. Last one. When your kiddo gets home from school and they're telling you about one of their friends on the bus who had a tough ride. Again, real life experience. My son gets off the bus. Hey, my friend told me today his parents are getting a divorce. It actually just happened last month. And I had a conversation with my son because he wanted to process this. How do you think your friend is feeling? Do you think there's anything that your friend needs right now? How can you best be there for your friend? This is a big deal. This is an adult problem. Remember we talked about adult problems? My son didn't know how to process this because it's not a kid problem. So we focused in on how he could be a good friend when he's talking to this other boy on the bus. That's how we problem solved. That's how we used empathy. How do you think your friend is feeling? Yeah, why do you think he's feeling that way? It all goes back to building this skill and understanding how other people are feeling. So listen, guys, you've got this whole toolbox at your disposal now to help teach your kids this life skill. And think about it. People that can show empathy and who can solve problems and who can consider other people's perspectives in a respectful way are more successful in life, are more successful in their careers and in their relationships. They're happier individuals because they know how to process all of this stuff and they know how to get along with others. Isn't that what we want for our kids? Yes, of course. So as a quick recap, we talked about using the characters in books and on TV and on social media platforms like YouTube and talking about how those characters feel and how they have solved problems and what maybe they could do differently. We have talked about sharing our own feelings in a child-friendly way so that your child sees that they're not the only one that has feelings and they can start processing what to do when other people have feelings. We talked about going back to basics with problem solving and identifying what the problem is for these fictional characters that we're seeing in books and on TV, and then expanding on how they've already tried to solve a problem and what else our child could do to help. And we talked about how when your kiddo comes home from a very social place, being school and the bus, how their reflection on the interactions that they had with their peers during the day could lend itself to the conversation of building empathy. And remember, this skill of empathy starts when your kids are very young as toddlers, by you naming feelings for them, pointing out nonverbal signs of feelings, and then talking about them and having those conversations and showing them things all related to feelings. And then take it from there, you guys. From feelings goes thoughts, and our feelings drive our thoughts, and our thoughts drive our actions. And because empathy speaks to truly understanding how another person feels, it is the perfect place to start. Identify those feelings with your kiddo, and you will be on the right track to teach them the life skill to be successful. Until next time in the corner, I encourage you to be brilliant and empowered in all of your parenting decisions.
Thank you for joining us. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Come and visit us on our other social media platforms, including our fan page found on Facebook, Behavior Corner LLC, and our amazing closed group where even more goodness happens at Raising Kids, Behavior Solutions That Work. And of course, a shout out to Barb is always available at barb@behaviorcorner.com.